Welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
You know, if there's one thing that is really like annoyed me in the era of Trump, that is really just it, like inception of the entire Republican Party, just the inability to just admit when you're wrong about stuff. Like when you're wrong about something, it's not like, oh, we can't admit we're wrong. It's like, no, we're going to double down on our wrongness and describe, in fact, how it is you who are wrong.
Yes.
And we are correct. You idiot. You fool. You fucking moron.
Look, doubling down or tripling down on incorrect information is to own the libs. And so it doesn't matter if it makes sense. You have to do it anyway, because as a Republican, your job, your only job in politics is to own the libs. Not help anyone, just own the libs. That's it. Which is really good. And I don't understand why people vote for them. I don't get it. Just again, a little bit of inside baseball. We are, again, for this week, we are audio only. So if you're listening on premium or the free version, there is no video version of this show, but, we will be back on video soon. I don't know.
Also apologies to listeners this week as Jay is recording in a cave. So if it's a little echoey on his end,
Yeah, it's a little weird. My floors in my new house are tile, so I live in a very warm climate now, so it's just like sound bouncing like shit everywhere, and not in a good way. So I'll try to do my best to stay as close to the microphone. Maybe I can move this table slightly, and maybe that'll help a little bit. All right, so let's get right into it. Yes, we'll start with Tommy Tuberville.
Roll the clip. Just roll it, right, and we'll talk about it later.
So this is Brad's boy, his favorite politician. I don't know what show he's on.
He's on the CNN? Previous Don Lemon hour that is now hosted by Caitlin Collins.
The way this clip is, the way the video of this clip is cut, I assume the name of the show is The Sour Hour with Caitlin Collins. It's really weird. But yeah, so Tommy Tuberville is on there with her. And, you know, she has what I would argue is a completely reasonable set of questions.
Well, let's preface this, because we talked a couple weeks ago how Tommy Tuberville was just so bad that liberals and the liberal media were casting dispersions on his friends, the white nationalists. And a local reporter in Alabama asked him, you know, what he thinks white nationalism is. And he thinks, I think that's real Americans. and we talked about it on the show, and we made fun of him because he's an idiot, and white nationalism is a thing that has a definition, that's had a definition for many, many decades at this point.
You'd think.
And so when he gets opinions on with Caitlin Collins, she follows up, because this was a couple months ago this happened. So she basically is like, hey, like, have you learned anything in the last 2 months? And you can just listen to Tommy Tuberville's response.
All right. So here we go. Has he learned anything? Well, you'll be shocked to know. Here we go.
That white nationalists should not be serving in the U.S. military. Is that what you're saying?
If people think that a white nationalist is a racist, I agree with that. I agree they
shouldn't. A white nationalist is someone who believes that the white race is superior to other races.
Well, that's some people's opinion. And I don't think,
that's,
I mean,
not an opinion.
Pardon?
What's your opinion?
My opinion of a white nationalist, if somebody wants to call him white nationalist, to me, is an American. It's an American. Now, if that white nationalist is a racist, I'm totally against anything that they want to do, because I am 110% against racism. But I want somebody that's in our military, that's strong, that believes in this country, that's an American, that will fight along anybody, whether it's a man or woman, black or white, red, it doesn't make any difference. And so I'm totally against identity politics. I think it's ruining this country, and I think that Democrats ought to be ashamed for how they're doing this, because it's dividing this country and it's making this country weaker every day.
But that's not identity politics. You said a white nationalist is an American.
It is identity politics.
You said a white nationalist is an American, but a white nationalist is someone who believes horrific things. Do you really think that's someone who should be serving in the military?
Well, that's just a name that has been given. I mean,
it's not. It's a real definition. There's real concerns about
extremism. So if you're
going to
do away with most white people in this country out of the military, we got huge problems.
It's not people who are white. It's white nationalists.
That have a few probably different beliefs.
You see the distinction, right?
That have different beliefs. Now, if racism is one of those beliefs, I'm totally against it. I am totally against racism.
But
there's a lot of people that believe in different things.
A white nationalist is racist, Senator.
Well, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. But if it's racism, I'm totally against it.
So putting aside, let's, you know, let's stop at the first off ramp here. Tommy Tuberville says he's 110% against racism. I'm not going to necessarily believe that the dude who made a career and millions upon millions of dollars exploiting the labor of mostly people of color throughout his adult life. I'm gonna doubt that dude might not have some inherent racism in him. But putting that aside, let's take Tommy Tuberville at his word. Okay. So
go ahead.
Normally, so a couple months ago when this whole white nationalist thing kicks off, a normal person with intellectual curiosity would take a step back and say, why was this such a big news story? Like I don't understand why this was a big deal. So they might, you know, talk to one of their staffers or Google a Wikipedia article. Like we're not asking for much here. Like we're asking for the bare minimum to say, why do people think that white nationalists means someone who's racist? And that person might find through the internet that white nationalism, as Caitlin Collins alluded to, is a thing that's been defined in society. Like it's not like that Republicans just invented the term white nationalist 5 years ago and that's a new thing. Like white nationalism has been a thing for a long time. And so a normal person would take that information and they might come to this interview and say, you know what I said before about white nationalism, like I don't get down with white nationalism. I've learned, you know, I didn't realize before that it was a thing, how you're, you know, adult man in your late 60s and you don't know what white nationalism is at this point. God only knows. But I didn't realize it was this thing, and this thing is not what I'm about. I am about this though. I think that conservatives in the military shouldn't be ostracized just because of their political beliefs. They're real Americans, yada, yada. Like you could have spun this in an acknowledgement that, like, yeah, what I said 2 months ago was fucked up, and it was born of ignorance, not of the fact that I have inherently racist views.
Nah, Brad, you're giving way too much credit to a football coach from Alabama. No way, not possible, not happening. Look, it's. There are many things about this clip that I find humorous. I don't care who they were, as long as they can work with white, black, red. I was like, red, dude? For real? We're still using that term? I'm surprised he didn't say yellow.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's what you mean for that one.
Dude, I was like, say it. Come on. Like, if you're going off the rails, just go all the way. So that I found humorous. The other part is this idea that he doesn't know what a white nationalist is. You grew up in Alabama, yo. Knock it off. Get the fuck off. You grew up in America. Knock it the fuck off. You're not that ignorant. But this really is that he has supporters who are, in fact, white nationalists.
Yeah.
And so what he's doing, this is a dog whistle. To say, hey, I know who you are, but I can't ride with you publicly. And they all know that, right? They know why, because their views are abhorrent and are largely rejected by the American people. And so he's like, look, I can't ride with you publicly, but I can ride with you, you know, like enough to get you vote. Right.
With a wink and a nod.
Exactly. That's what it really is.
Basically,
no one. No adult of his age is this ignorant to what a white nationalist is. Dude, white nationalists aren't ignorant to it. They'll tell you. Ask them. Hey, what do you think of black people? White nationalists? Don't like them. Mexicans? Not a fan. Right, they're not going to fucking lie to you. What about the red? What about red or yellow? Not a fan, right?
Yeah, like Jews? You, like, not down with Jews. Sorry.
Catholics? Absolutely not. Yeah. So, you know, it's like these people will tell you what they are. So there's no question. There's the Southern Poverty Law Center isn't coming up with this. These guys are telling you. Right? Like this is who they are. This is how these people identify, which is fine, I guess. I'd rather you just tell me who you are and we just drone strike your little fucking shit compound from 10,000 feet. Like it doesn't bother me. Look, hold your hand up so we can see you. It's fine. But in all seriousness, like he's doing what the Republican Party always does. Pretends that they don't dog whistle to white nationalists and racists with the Southern strategy and God knows everything else that they do to appeal to these people. That's why they support them. They support them. You know, they're like, you'll see conservatives say, oh, well, you know, David Duke said that he supported Joe Biden. You do realize they're doing that to try to like hurt Joe Biden, right? Because they know that you idiots will latch onto it. The people they vote for are always Republicans because Republicans support the things that they support.
You're probably right, but just in the graciousness of one of my edicts, which is don't confuse stupidity with malice. I think there's at least a reasonable possibility that Tommy Tuberville just is that dumb. Like he's not a smart man.
I'll give you a 20% which may be too low. That might be too low because he's pretty profoundly dumb. Like he's real dumb. So it's possible. It is.
Funny how like there does seem to be a race to the bottom for just what is the stupidest person we can elect as a Republican to the United States Senate.
I mean, Liz Cheney came out like 2 weeks ago and they were like, what do you think the problem in politics is with like actual like elected politicians? And she was just like, with her party, she was like, we elect idiots. That's what she said.
Is that verbatim or is that, are you paraphrasing? No,
I will find the article. She said, we elect idiots.
That's awesome.
And look, I agree with her, but at the same time, like you voted for Trump.
Yeah.
You live in a giant glass house, a giant glass idiot house, as far as I'm concerned. Like it's hilarious, but she's 100% right. I'll see if I can find the exact quote. It was like we vote in or we support idiots. Like it was a fucking wild. Oh yeah, here you go. This is a quote from Liz Cheney. This is from June 27th of this year. Look, I think this country right now faces hugely challenging and fundamentally important issues. And what we've done in our politics is create a situation where we're electing idiots. Now, I'm sure she thinks that some of the Democrats are idiots, but like, let's get real. All the idiots are on your side. Like, I don't see you can disagree with Democrats. You can even say that they're not correct on issues, right? Whether you're talking about corporate Democrats or, you know, liberals or whatever, you can say, well, I don't agree with them, but there are no Democrats going out there talking about they believe in a Jewish space laser or that they don't know what a white nationalist is or holding a snowball up in the middle of Congress, right? Like, the idiots are on your side, like just fundamentally true.
And again, I feel like this is a newish phenomenon. And I'm sure there's probably some like backbench politicians from back in the day who were pretty fucking dumb that we just don't know about because they didn't have the same level of media perspiration. But like, say what you will about like the worst assholes in Republican politics over the years. But like Strom Thurmond wasn't a moron. He was a fucking despicable racist, but he wasn't an idiot.
He wasn't a moron. No, he wasn't a moron. And that's the thing. It's like Lauren Boebert is a moron. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a moron. Like they're not bright people. Mm-hmm. But then you have like, you know, like your classic Republicans, like your, you know, Jeff Sessions, like he's just a dirtbag, right? He's retired now, obviously, but like he's just a dirtbag. Like they're not all stupid, but the stupid ones are all Republicans.
But Jeff Sessions like can't win anymore. Like didn't Jeff Sessions run for his Senate seat again, and he lost to Tommy?
because he can't he got stamped as being not for Trump or being a failure to Trump, and then that was it. So yep. Once that happened, it was a wrap. It's an absolute wrap. So, oh, well, I mean, I wish I cared. But, you know, Liz Cheney's right. We're electing idiots. Well, not we. You guys.
You guys are electing idiots. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, we were off last week, so I do want to go back to the story. They found cocaine in the White House. look.
To be clear, it was like wasn't it in like a visitor's area where like you have to check like your belongings and shit like that?
Doesn't matter, Brad. Hunter Biden brought cocaine into the White House. Everybody knows
it. Like I said, given who the president's son is, this is legitimately a little funny, right?
Oh, it's hilarious. No, this is legit. This is absolutely hilarious. Now, here's the thing. Do I think Hunter Biden brought in the drugs? No. No, I don't think so. Would it be hilarious if he did? Yes. It would be. It would be fucking funny. Come on, man. That's awesome. Good for him. But, like, it's just hilarious hearing from the right wing. They're like, Hunter Biden, he's got to be the guy. And I'm like, have you watched videos? Are you sure it's not from Donald Trump Jr., like his leftover stash? Because that guy is on massive amounts of
cocaine. I mean, or you could be Trump and say, oh, like clearly Joe Biden's doing that blow because Sleepy Joe needs it to keep his energy up in the White House. Not me, the most virile president that's ever existed.
Who needed plenty of like executive time so he could take naps in the middle of the day. Like the idea of saying like Joe Biden is snorting coke is a wild move. Like that, like there's part of me that obviously doesn't want Trump to make it through the primary because then I would like to watch the Republican Party rip itself apart, and it would. But he's likely to make it through the primary. Maybe, you know, I don't know. But all this, like, because he's getting wilder and wilder in his statements. Mm-hmm. Like, he wrote, like, fuck Biden the other day on, like, Truth Social. I was like, or, like, re-truthed it or whatever. And I'm just like, what is that debate going to look like when these two have to stand next to each other? And he's been like.
What debate? You think he's going to debate Joe Biden again after he got fucking mollywopped two times last time?
Yeah, you might be right.
We'll see. Because like I said, I don't. He's still talking like he's not going to do those Republican debates either. And I feel I feel like he knows. Or at least people are able to reach him and communicate to him that like, hey, like these only hurt you. Like you never come out looking. At least not since the Republican primary in 2016. Like you don't come out looking. Smelling like roses when you do these things.
No, he does not. It's going to be weird, man. It's going to be really weird. If he decides that he's not going to do those debates, like the primary debates, that's going to be fucking strange. Because they're just going to be dunking on him the whole time, but he's not there to defend himself.
Oh, you think so, do you? I think one person will dunk on him incessantly.
Chris Christie
will.
Yeah.
But do you really think that the other candidates who are trying to like court his followers to be like, oh, don't vote for him, but like, do you really think they're going to take a hard line? Because they won't do it in in speeches. They won't do it on the road.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, maybe someone like Will Hurd will.
when I saw that he was running for president, him and the former Miami mayor whose name I don't remember at this point. That's just like it's the forest tree analogy. Like if a presidential candidate runs, but nobody hears about it, did it really ever happen?
Dude, Will Hurd running is hilarious to me. I'm the intellectual Republican. Okay, Will. Okay. And you ran during the Trump years to get the hell out of Congress and not stand up against him.
You
get no respect from me. Knock it off. I guess Christie is probably the guaranteed person to hit back. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know if he will or not. I guarantee you he won't do all of them. I can guarantee.
I what I do think will happen is I think the moderators will try if Trump is not there, they will try to drag it out of him. Because my prediction, it is going to be embarrassing how much the Republican primary debates are framed not around issues, but around Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's going to be completely about that. 100%. Yeah. Well, they don't have a choice, right? Because Trump isn't an issues guy. He's a personality guy. So it's, I don't think they have a choice, but to, this is where Christie actually may be the smartest, that he realizes that it doesn't matter if you talk about the border wall or any of that other shit. I mean, you could just point out that he didn't do it. Right. The by the way, hey, Chris Christie, if you're listening, and we know that you are, here's the best method. Hit him on the border wall. Go down there and take pictures of you standing in front of it. Be like, here's me, July 11th, being like me holding a newspaper, like, here's the wall. Where the fuck is it? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, point that shit out, because then people are like, no, there's a wall. There's a wall. Like, people are debating whether a wall exists. These are like knowable facts, but like they'll debate that this wall that he quote unquote built is there. It's not, right? But I think Christie is the only one who realizes that trying to issue with him is pointless, whether he's there or not. It's pointless, because the thing that people like about Trump is they like him. They like his personality. They like the gruff. They like the sort of irresponsible tweeting and things like that. That's what they like. So if you can tear down the man, then you can beat him. That was the reason why he steamrolled everybody else in 2016, because they were trying to beat him on issues. He don't have any issues. Like, Donald Trump doesn't know anything about foreign policy. Neither do the idiots voting for him. They don't care about that. They care tough guy.
He knows what they know, which is China bad. You know,
like Russia is good.
Yeah.
Weirdly. So if you can beat the man, if you can destroy the personality of the man, then you can put damage on him. The best way to do that is to show that this guy is weak, like that he's truly weak, that for all of his gruff and bullshit and talk, at the core of him, he is a fake. He is weak. I don't know how you do that. I can't issue that advice, but like, here's an easy fix. Like, it's not, because he has a cult, right? And the only way cults normally end is with everybody drinking something and wearing the same tennis shoes. So I don't know how you beat him.
I mean, but like you said, we can only hope that that does happen metaphorically, of course, with the Republican yes. Party and the Trump disciples. So
okay, I'm not on video. Doesn't matter. My facial expressions are irrelevant to this conversation. So, no, but I mean, yeah, I think like that's where I would love to see him lose in a primary, not just because I want to see him lose, but I want to see what happens to that party, because everyone's like, well, they'll just move on to the next Republican. It's a cult now. Like, there is no moving on. Like, if he loses, it's rigged and he will fucking go crazy on whoever the fuck the nominee is. And that is going to be fun as hell to watch. If he wins, then the cult is vindicated and you know, the fucking BS continues. But we'll talk about it later. I mean, the person they thought was going to beat him is not going to be the guy. Find a new guy. It's not going to be him. But we'll talk about that later. So, like, again, the cocaine story is funny, but this idea of like the response from the right is just hilarious to me, because they're like so sure it's Hunter Biden. Like, I don't remember what fucking crappy outlet it was. Some lady at the press conference or the White House press corps was like, I just like to ask again, are we sure that this didn't come from, one of the Bidens? And yet the press secretary is like, if she could have called her a bitch, I think she would have. It's like, bitch, knock it off. Like, shut up. Like, Joe Biden and Hunter Biden weren't at the White House like 5 days before and after, like a total of like 5 days before and after the cocaine was found. Like, it wasn't theirs. Like, relax. And they're like, can you say unequivocally that it's like, yeah, I'm telling you. Like, what the fuck, man? This is dumb. Like, knock it off. But they don't have anything. right? Like the economy is going pretty well. They don't have anything. So they're just like, oh shit, cocaine, let's nose candy. We found it. Like that's our biggest story. It's just silliness. Again, I think it would be hilarious if it was hunters, though. I'm not gonna lie. I just think it would be funny. Next up, Rudy Giuliani got a proffer deal or a proffer agreement from Jack Smith and his team. That's not good.
No, because usually it means that you're about to strike a plea bargain with this dude.
That is correct. What do you think of that? You think he'll flip on him?
I think that ultimately, you know, as we've said many a time, there is no honor among thieves in the Republican Party. And I think at the end of the day, they're always going to save their own ass. Now, I think that Rudy will try to save his own ass in a way that damages Trump the least. But as we know, like once these guys get on their oath, they don't tend to fuck around because they know that that has major consequences for later on. So, I mean, I think Giuliani's going to try to blame it on someone like a Mark Meadows-ish sort of thing. But then the next logical question is, well, who was Mark Meadows acting at the direction? Like there's no way that it doesn't eventually lead back to back to Trump is the problem that they have.
Yeah. I want to say that I don't think he would flip on Trump. I want to say that. I do. Because I think that he is, I think he, for all of Giuliani's bullshit, I think he's fairly loyal. Like, I think he would be loyal to Trump. But it all depends on what they have on him that we don't know, right? Like, if they can put pressure on him and be like, listen, man, we know about some other shit. Like, do you really want us? Like, it depends on where is the pressure campaign, right? Does Jack Smith's team have a bigger pressure campaign to put work on Giuliani? Or does Trump have more of a pressure campaign to be like, dude, I know these things about you. If you flip on me, I'm going to dump all this shit into the public. It all depends on who's got the bigger dick at that point. And yeah. I don't know. I mean, Giuliani is a pretty reckless guy in a lot of ways. I'd imagine Trump has plenty of shit on him. Because let's get real. At the end of the day, if Trump is pushed to the edge, he's going to dime out everybody.
Well, sure.
So it could play that Giuliani realizes that, right? And goes, yeah, push to the edge. This guy's going to fuck me. So I better fuck him first, right? Like, it could be that. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I can't say for sure whether or not I think he's going to dime him out. It would be hilarious if he did.
It also is true irony that the dude who made his bones, and I'm using that term very pointedly, by being known for, you know, flipping guys and moving up the ladder in criminal organizations, is essentially now being the dude that's being flipped to move up the ladder, the ladder to get in what amounts to a criminal organization.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, this proffer deal has everything to do with the 2020 election, right? So it's curious, right? Because this may be the best inroads they get into those like top level meetings, like right before January 6th and shit too. And those are the sort of black box ones. And you need to break one of the guys in the room to really get a handle on it. So I don't know. I really don't know if he'll flip on him. But like, there's a good chance that he could. If he thinks that he's going to get thrown under the bus, and guess what, dude? You definitely will. You 100% will get thrown under the bus. Trump doesn't give a fuck about anybody. I don't know, man. Sell out. Sell out before somebody buys
him. I just hope that if he does make this plea agreement, that Rudy says, you know, I'm going to hold a press conference at the Ritz to announce this. And then like the press conference is actually like in a grocery store in front of like the Ritz cracker display.
Yes. Somebody comes up and is like, "Hey man, like how you doing?" Taps him on the back and he dies. I almost died. Like, relax, old man. It's curious that they've gotten to him so fast. I didn't think they would ever get to him. I thought that he would go.
He was like, one of the first people they probably went after, is because he was the one doing the fucking, the fucking magical mystery tour around the country, trying to argue this shit with Jenna Ellis in front of courtrooms and getting laughed out like crazy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm surprised they got a proffer deal for him already. So we'll see, man. Best of luck with all this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be him. Not ever. Gross. But certainly not in this situation. Off the sort of backs of that, DC Court of Appeals committee recommends that Rudy Giuliani be disbarred.
just when you think that he's found bottom, he manages to just keep digging.
Yeah, there's no bottom to that barrel. A DC Court of Appeals committee that oversees attorney conduct recommended last Friday that Rudy Giuliani, the former New York mayor and personal attorney to former President Donald Trump, be disbarred, determining he should not be allowed to practice law in the nation's capital because of his attempt to block the results of the 2020 presidential election in Pennsylvania. I would like to see more states take this up and just say that he should be barred all over the country. He should lose his law license, period, as far as I'm concerned.
Like I said, couldn't happen to a more deserving individual.
100%. 100%. I support it. Like, give me more of that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Look, Brad, I know you like to say it, but don't say gay, okay? Like, them's the rules in Florida. Can't say it. Can't even say the word. But apparently one of the GOP lawmakers behind the don't say gay rule in Florida schools has been accused of sexual harassment of what? Two male staffers, because of course, thou protest too much. Apparently this guy, a 25-year-old legislative a 25-year-old legislative aide named Nicholas Frivola said that while attending a career day at the North Beach Elementary School in Miami, Frivola slapped him on the rump and said, quote, "I want all that butt." Dude, if you're going to harass somebody, man, like, just, I guess, get right to it. God damn. That is hilarious. Additionally, a 25-year-old unpaid intern named Jacob Cutbirth said that this guy drove to a hotel room after he had been drinking during the drive. Bazeby, which is the this congressman's name, allegedly groped him, tried to kiss him, and invite him up to his room for having sex. Cutbirth said that Bazeby called him, quote, "eye candy," asked him if he had a big dick. Jesus. Told him that part of his job was to flirt with Bazeby while in office. That is not a part of your job, dude. And then directed Cutbirth to sign a non-disclosure agreement that would bar him from publicly discussing the employment. Cutbirth also said that Bazeby advised him to call off the engagement to his girlfriend and explore his sexuality by having sex with other men. That's a wild move. Yeah. By the way, if you're gonna be harassing these interns or whatever, I'm not advocating this, obviously, but don't you want to get them to sign an NDA up front? You don't want to be like, "Hey, I want all that, but oh yeah, by the way, I need you to sign this NDA." No, I'm not going to do that.
Apparently, one of the victims and his mother reported the assaults to the Florida House Human Resources Department, which they investigated, and they found the claims inconclusive. And this state rep decided to like spike the football and be like, "Yeah, like it was found in my favor." It's like, no, they just found it to be inconclusive. Like, it's not, you know, that just means that they couldn't find any proof of it actually happening, but it doesn't mean that they prove it not happening either. So, yeah. Why again? Why it's all projection. It's all projection. It's never not projection.
Yeah. Every accusation is an admission, right? Like that's the line with the Republican Party, and it is almost scary how accurate that is. Like, don't say gay. I mean, like, I'm gonna say it because I am, but don't tell anybody. It's like, dude, just relax. Like, dude, you want to go have sex with dudes? Go have sex with dudes. It's fine. Like, stop being an asshole to other gay people. They're your people. Stop being a dickhead. Like, I don't want to tell anybody. Yeah, but you're like, you're going up to random dudes saying, I want that butt. People are going to find out. It's going to get out.
Yeah.
It's just so weird, man. So the
victims are apparently going to try to sue him for defamation and battery. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, it's going to be tough without any sort of like, you know, actual evidence or any like eyewitness statements that, you know, to prove that. So it's going to be tough. But yeah,
I mean, but of course,
sure.
I just find it incredibly humorous. He went up to the guy, was like, "Hey, man, you should break up with your girlfriend, and why don't you try fucking dudes?" Like, okay, like I'm good. Oh, by the way, I need to sign an NDA. Yeah, I don't think so. You put the cart before the horse, my man. You got to pull a Trump. You get the NDA first, then you start the harassing. Like, well, sorry, you signed this letter, like. That's no, NDAs don't really stop criminal activity, but okay. All right. All right. Next up, let's head on down to good old Tennessee.
Yeah. Cam's fucking up again. What a fucking asshole.
Yep.
So, yeah. So there's an alleged medical billing issue that the Tennessee Attorney General's office is quote unquote investigating right now. And basically, they asked the Vanderbilt University Medical Center for patient records pursuant to this issue. However, they only asked for records of patients who had received or had inquired about receiving transsexual services.
Sure.
from VUMC. Even if you had just like inquired and not even received services, like, apparently your records are being handed over. Not coincidentally, Tennessee, one of the states trying very hard, like all other Republican legislature states, to ban trans care as much as possible in their state. So this is a cool, like, really fascist fucking kind of thing going on, is using the legitimate investigative powers that these offices have to investigate these kind of issues. But like, no one's buying this, right? Like that this is actually like a billing case. Like it seems to me like an end around just to get these records, which is really fucked up.
It is. And it, you know, it's, you know, transphobes and racists and sexists are, and homophobes are, they have one thing in common. It's generally one giant overlapping circle, right? All of those groups, incidentally. But they have one thing in common, which is cowardice, right? Mm-hmm. Like they almost always like, oh no, I'm doing this other thing, because they don't want to just come out and be like, yeah, I'm doing it because like we need to stop these people. Like generally they try to do these like bullshit end arounds. Then they get caught and then they go, yeah, you got me. Like, but seriously, we need to get rid of these people, right? Yeah, I mean, this is pretty fascist. Like, it's pretty gross. Again, you don't have to harass these people. You can just leave them be. Like,
you totally can. Also fucked up.
Bother them.
Also fucked up is that Vanderbilt didn't let these people know that their records had been turned over to the AG until after they had already done it.
Yeah,
like they notified them after the fact.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. Yeah. Look, I got to tell you, I get it. I 100% understand this idea of like, I lived in this state, these fascists are trying to ruin it, and I'm not leaving. But it's like that story in Florida of like the Florida government, like, just like, hey, we'll just take your kid if we deem that you're trying to like allow your kid to, do this sort of, transgender affirming, medications or care of any sort. Like, mm-hmm. The government will just come and take your kid. Like, nah, like I'm not risking that. Like, yeah. I'm just not risking that. Like, because I'm not a crazy person, but I would end up like one of those, fucking Bundy Ranch idiots. Like, if somebody tried to take my kid, I'd be like, all right, well, we just have to shoot out with the government then. Cause like, that's where this is going.
And that's the thing too. Like I have a lot of sympathy because it's hard to uproot. It's very expensive to uproot.
Don't I know it?
Right. Yeah. You know better than anyone right now. But depending on your career as well, it's also probably never been easier to uproot and move across state lines. Like depending on what you do for a living, and there's a lot of jobs that don't have this benefit, but you might not have to like find new work, which you used to have to do before, like whenever you move across states or stuff like that. Depending on your situation, there's certainly a lot of jobs that's not true of. So yeah, I agree with you. Like if I lived in a red state and I had a child who was transitioning, like there's no fucking way that I would stay in town. Or if I had a child, or if I had a daughter, generally, like a young daughter, because it's just like, yeah, like what if she accidentally gets pregnant and decides that she doesn't want to have the child? Well, I'm pretty fucked unless we're gonna take like a 12-hour road trip. And even then, like depending on the state, depending on their laws, like they'll still try to go after you, even if you went to another state to receive services.
Right. And
I think a Nebraska mother I saw recently just got 2 years in prison because she bought her 17-year-old daughter abortion or morning after pills, basically.
2 years.
Yeah.
No way, man. No way. Fuck off. Fuck off. Look, it's ironic, right? I don't know if this exists in the white community, but it certainly did exist in the black community. Like when I was growing up, thousands of years ago, there was a whole thing of like, if you got pregnant when you were young, like black parents, not all, but like some black parents would just send young girls who got knocked up. They'd send them to stay with their families in the South. Mm-hmm. But you got pregnant, like you gotta get out of here. Like you're gonna keep that kid, you gotta go down south. And it's like a weird, it was like a very weird thing. I don't know if that exists in the sort of the white
culture. I don't think so. I'm not aware of that dynamic.
But that's like it was a real thing, right? Like it was a real thing. Like, I mean, I had a neighbor across the street from me growing up. She got knocked up early. And it was like, where'd she go? Like, she went to live with her aunt down
no, you, like, you know, South what the Carolina white, you know what the show. White community version was back in the day? The white community version was somebody like mysteriously, like a daughter would like leave for a couple months on like a summer retreat and then magically came back as if nothing had happened. And like that was like a secret like abortion pilgrimage, like where she went somewhere where they took care of that or something along those lines.
Yeah,
that was like the white version, abortion was still very taboo, so you didn't want your friends and family to know about it. So it's like, oh yeah, she went on a retreat or she went on a like a mission or they went away to like summer camp or something and then they came back. Right.
it's wild that that was a thing, and I don't know if it's still a thing. But probably not, right? But like, it's wild. It was like, go down south and have this child out of wedlock or whatever, and you raise this kid. And it's like now the South is just like, you can't, like, if you get pregnant early, young, like this is the worst place you want to be, right?
Yeah.
In this country, and not that the North doesn't have its problems, but like they are very wildly different.
Not really, because some of the strictest abortion states, like Ohio, has incredibly draconian laws.
Ohio's a very different fucking state. Like it's weird in a lot of ways.
Right. And Idaho's trying to be like, oh, if you go to Washington, like we're gonna fucking get your ass. If you go to have abortion services.
So. That's crazy. I hope my daughter doesn't have to ever deal with that. I really don't. But if she does, Like, guess what? You're getting a plane ticket and you're going there, and you're gonna if that's what she decides she wants to do, like, I don't have control over her, right? But at that age, but if she decides that she wants to have an abortion, yeah, you're getting a plane ticket and you're going. You're going to that state. And guess what? You just hang out there. Like, I mean, where we live now, the laws are basically, I think it's up to a certain amount of weeks, and then it's after that, it like you need like medical permission type of stuff. It's not free and clear to do whatever you want. Because the patriarchy is very big in this culture too. And like, I don't know, in some ways it's more progressive, and in other ways it's less, right? Like, it just all depends
I
on the
mean, where
thing.
you are now is still a society that is deeply rooted in a lot of like
Heavily,
religious undertones and stuff like that.
highly, highly rooted in religion. Yeah.
Yeah.
But look, as a first-hand glance, not as much as you think. Not as much as you think. Yeah, it's interesting. It's th this like there's sort of a mentality when people are talking about the area where I am, and it's always like, oh, American modernity, it's ruining women and all this other stuff, and you gotta go overseas to find these good traditional girls. Dude, modernity is coming everywhere, my man. Like, no, like the modern era is coming. It looks different here, but like any graffiti that you see here is all about like pushing against violence against women, and like literally graffiti on churches, like fuck the church, like right on it, and it's kind of wild. So it's like modernity is coming everywhere, man. Like, if you think you're leaving the United States to go to some like 1950s fucking horseshit just because women wear dresses, like, nah, yo. Like, they're not gonna take your bullshit. Like, it doesn't work like that. So it's fascinating. It's sort of a fascinating culture to watch. All right. So yeah, look, Tennessee. Again, we gotta chill with like just going after these people for no fucking reason. Because you're bored. That's all it is. Like, it's because you're bored. You realize that the scaremongering over gay marriage didn't fucking work. And it's like, oh, gay people are gonna get married, and then the fucking tides are gonna destroy the earth. Like, oh yeah, that didn't happen. Oh,
Yeah, shocking. I'm surprised that this one thing didn't happen after all the other 10,000 things you've told us over the last 2,000 years didn't happen.
it's gonna tomorrow. It's gonna happen tomorrow.
Mark my words.
Mark my words. One day we're gonna wake up and gay marriage is gonna ruin straight marriage. Oh, that didn't happen either? Weird. Shocking news. If Kim Kardashian being married for 14 minutes didn't ruin straight marriage, nothing will. You're fine. Nobody gives a fuck. Just do what you want to do. Leave these people alone, man. Just leave them alone. Next up, this is a fascinating story. Texans die from heat after governor bans mandatory water breaks. House Bill 2127 preempts local governments from enacting legislation in eight areas with potentially deadly results. So apparently, Greg Abbott, a man who is just really trying to out scumbag Ron DeSantis. Like, there's this like weird war between who's the bigger piece of shit governor of a large state. So apparently they decided that they wanted to he decided to have this or he supported this bill being passed. What was it? Bill 2120, House Bill 2127. And so it basically goes through and says, like, listen, if you're in a local legislature, you can't overwrite these like ridiculous rules. And one of them is that like they can just ban water breaks. Like, you don't get water breaks like in the middle of a Texas summer, which is just absolutely fucking crazy.
While you're working outside.
Yeah, while you're working outside. And people have died, right? Because of this heat. Says HB 2127 reverses over 100 years of Texas constitutional law without amending the Constitution. Because Texas has long had the means to preempt local laws that conflict with a state law, HB 2127, is unnecessary, dismantling the ability to govern at the level closest to the people, and therefore punishing all Texas residents. Houston will fight so its residents retain their constitutional rights and have immediate local recourse to government. Okay, so yeah, the Texas story is a little wild, but I mean, I guess it fundamentally comes down to having the higher level of government on the state level overriding local government is ridiculous. But this is, I guess, for me, it's like, oh, isn't this what Republicans bitch and complain about, the potential of the federal government coming and overriding their laws? But when they are given ultimate power on the state level, they do the exact same thing.
It's the states that are allowed to make all the decisions. Fuck your local government ordinances.
Right. But again, every accusation is an admission. This is what they would do. So like, I hate to say that because it seems overly simplistic, but if you ever want to know how bad the Republican Party would be when given ultimate control, just look at what they accuse Democrats of doing when they have moderate control. They would do all of the horrible things that they accuse Democrats of and more. Like, it's just, it's super obvious. Like, oh, they would just override the state governments. You mean like you're doing right now on a local level? Well, that's different. How? Well, shut up. Like, that's their argument. They don't have any. So it's
and what a stupid thing. Like, what a dumb thing to just. Like there's a lot of ordinances that they're overriding. It's just the water break one is getting attention because there's a fucking lot of heat deaths going on in Texas right now. But what a dumb thing to fucking, what a stupid hill to die on. You know what I mean?
It's very dumb. And it absolutely makes no sense. But I mean, has Greg Abbott done a lot that has made sense? No. I mean, honestly, I really think he wakes up every day, he checks the newspaper, he's like, what bullshit did Ron DeSantis do? It's like, oh, all right, well, we'll see about this. I'm like, dude, are you running for president? Excuse me, rolling for president? Like, you know, it's like, if you're not, like, then why are you just being a dick for no reason? Like, who are you trying to impress by your, you know, your dickish ways? I guess just like his mom. I don't know. Next up, Trump is beating Ron DeSantis in Florida by, I believe, 25 points. How shocked are you to hear this news?
I mean, considering that, maybe I'm a little shocked it's not closer in Florida, because Ron DeSantis did just win re-election there by a landslide margin. So people in Florida must like something that he's doing. So they must like him, but not as much as they like Donald Trump, apparently. Mm-hmm.
And they don't.
Well, it's good because Trump was the OG.
Yeah, this guy's just a copy.
So, I do find it funny. So apparently, the Florida Republican Party is requiring candidates to sign a loyalty pledge to appear on the ballot, where you have to pledge to support the eventual nominee, no matter who it is. And people are saying, oh, like, you know, what if some of these like also ran candidates don't, you know, say they're not going to support Donald Trump, they won't be on the ballot. What if Donald Trump doesn't sign it? Are they really going to exclude Donald Trump from the GOP primary ballot in Florida? Unlikely.
No way, dude.
Unlikely.
No way. There's no, they don't have the balls. They don't have the balls. They don't have the balls. Like, I think that MAGA would destroy Florida if that happened. Like, they would burn it to the ground. Like, it's, there's no, and here's the thing, he's gonna test that. Like, he's gonna be like, no, I'm not gonna sign it.
Sure,
I'm not gonna sign it. And I want to see, because guess what? One of two things will happen. Either the entire party that supports Donald Trump will flip out and go after all of the Republicans who run that primary, all the state level GOP, and they're going to rip them to shreds and threaten them and with bodily harm and God knows whatever else. Or you will bend to his will and he will prove yet again that he is the most powerful person in that party, and you will look like a bunch of punk bitches.
Yeah.
Guess
everyone has to sign a loyalty pledge except for former presidents.
Yeah, because, well, he's the leader of the party, but of course he's loyal to the party. Why would he have to do it, right? Like, Nah, he's going to test that, and he's going to make them look like fools. They don't have the balls to do it. They don't have the balls. They like. There's no way they can stand up to the mob that would be coming for them if they decided that he's not going to be on the ballot. Now, if they were tough and if they said, "Hey, the rule's the rule," then I got to respect it. I mean, y'all going to die, but like, I would respect that very much if they were just like, "The rule's the rule. You don't sign the loyalty pledge. You don't get on there."
Jay, your boy, arguably the biggest contender to Donald Trump's eventual rise, Will Hurd already said that he's not signing the loyalty pledge because he will not support Donald Trump if Donald Trump wins. He says, even if it keeps me off the ballot in Florida, if my campaign's even still running at that point, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to support Donald Trump.
I have a new book coming out. Please think about my name.
I feel like there's less expensive marketing that you can do for your book than running for president. And people can't see that I'm doing air quotes when I say that.
Dude, Will Hurd running for president is fucking hilarious.
Like Will Hurd's not even running for like a cabinet position. Like Will Hurd's just running. That's all he's doing.
He's running for book sales. Like I guarantee you. I guarantee you that guy has a book coming out. I can only imagine, or a book or a podcast or a book about a podcast that he's doing or some other fucking horseshit.
If Will Hurd has a book coming out, what is the likelihood? Like what is the percentage odds that the title of said book has a Hurd pun of some nature inside of it?
It's 100%.
Like not part of the Hurd, the Will Hurd story from the CIA to Congress to the White House.
Oh my God. It's definitely got a Hurd pun. Like you have to, right? Like you have to.
Hurd so good. The Will Hurd biography.
Hurd of the pack. Like, all right, we got it. Hurd it through the grapevine. Like, God damn it, Will.
That's my favorite one.
That guy is not going to ever be president. Like, ever. Like, what a massive fucking joke he is. So, yeah.
I just don't understand that. Like, if you're not running on some third, on like some third party vanity run, why are you even bothering? Like, do you really think that you have a vision for the country? Actually, put that aside because.
Oh, you know what? He already has a book come. His book literally came out in March.
Okay.
March 14th. It's called American Reboot, The Idealist Guide to Getting Big Things Done. By Will Hurd. I'm very disappointed that this
there's no Hurd pun. Yeah.
What a missed opportunity.
On the Republican side of the ledger, how deluded is a guy like Will Hurd to be like, I've got the right vision for the country going forward, and my message is gonna break through to the fucking loons that are our primary voters at this point.
No, he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about that. Like, he doesn't think that they are. He's literally there to look, I'm gonna tell you right now. Allow me to sum up Will Hurd's first and possibly only debate appearance.
I don't know that he's gonna be polling high enough to be on the debate stage. I will say, mind you.
You very well could be correct here. he will continue to use the phrase. Some version of the phrase America needs a reboot. We need an American reboot. Why? Because that's the name of his book. I guarantee you that is all he's there to do. We need to reboot America because things are bad. Republicans are bad. Democrats are bad. And you know what? When your computer's not working, what do they tell you to do? They tell you to reboot it, right? Like that's what he's going to do. And he's going to say that shit like 97 times. And then people are going to be like, Will Hurd reboot. And then it's going to be like, oh, right. He's got a book called American Reboot. Yeah, this. That's it. Again, you should have gone with Hurd through the grapevine. You fucking loser. But that's what he'll do. He'll just pump his book. That's it. He has nothing. He doesn't care if it gets to the fucking nut jobs in that party. That's not his job. His job is to sell a book.
By the way, we don't have the story up here. Your thoughts on presidential hopeful Mike Pence literally saying in front of like a caucus town hall, kind of like a meet and greet thing on camera, he doesn't really buy into the idea that the rich need to, quote, pay their fair share in taxes.
Quote, unquote.
Yeah.
Pay their fair share. Look, this is a wild political prognostication. Mike Pence is not going to win the presidency.
Like, all they have to do is run that clip. Like if he somehow were to win the primary and like they're getting on a debate stage, like Joe Biden's like, this guy doesn't think the rich need to pay their fair share. What a fucking loser. And like that, you're done.
I would just point to him and be like, this guy supported his boss after his boss tried to have him murdered. How about that? Let alone everything else. Yeah, I mean, that was a wild statement to say.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to say, like, I think that the rich already pay their fair share. That's different. He said, I don't think they should at all, which is just fucking nuts. Like, what?
like literally all the things that all the attacks that Democrats make about Republicans, like, hey, you're just there to look out for the donor class. Like, you're just laying it out there. Like, you're not, like, it's not even a wink and a nod. You're just like, no, these people fucking should get to keep as much of their money as possible. Like, really? Who's footing the rest of that, the burden for the country then? Oh, regular people, the middle and lower class. All right.
100%.
Cool.
Those lazy fuckers who go to jobs every day. They're like, just suckers. Yeah. Look, Mike Pence. Look, I want Mike Pence. I want Donald Trump to go to a debate because I want him to have to say something to Mike Pence.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be crazy, dude.
Now, I do want to see what Mike Pence said after, because every clip that I see of that, like, it's clear he's going into something else and it kind of cuts off. So I would be curious to kind of see what the rest of that thought was, to see if it was just like a poorly worded preface to a more cogent thought.
No.
But again, like why are you even saying that in general? Because it's going to get clipped out and just fucking shared.
Right, but I just can't imagine that's even what he's saying. Like, what else could he be saying? Like, I mean, sure, there might be more details, but fundamentally, you're just like, nah, the rich are cool. Don't worry about it. Like, yeah. Dude, it's 2023. You can't possibly think that's going to work.
The only argument he can make is he could pivot from that, saying, you know, and by their fair share, like, I'm talking about like the fucking 30-35% that Democrats are saying that rich people should have to pay.
Right.
I suppose. And shit like that. That's the only pivot I could see that would make plausible sense to make him not sound like an out of touch asshole.
Yeah, but this is the same guy who thought that the movie Mulan was a secret movie by Disney to promote women in the military. He really thought that. Like, he really thought that. So, yeah, I mean, Mike Pence isn't really known to be, you know, the biggest intellectual.
Right.
And by the way, if you think I'm making up that Mulan thing, I'm really
not. No, it's like, you can find the article. I think it's still up when I don't know who he wrote for, but
he was like a radio host. He was a radio host.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. He said it on he was like, hey man, like, I can't believe they're making this movie. That's just to promote like women in the military. It's like, I mean, this is a very famous Chinese story, but okay. Sure. Like, yeah, that's what Disney can't wait to get women in the military. That's their whole thing.
If Pence is still in the primary by the time they get to Maryland, and if we can get credentials, I will go to Mike Pence and ask him his opinion on the mutant crisis in America right now.
That thing's a freak.
Like, do you agree or disagree with mutant civil rights in this country?
Like, excuse me, Senator Kelly. I mean, Mike Pence, former Vice President Mike Pence. That's really funny. Just hold up a picture
of Mike Crawler. Or I could ask him, did all of his adventures with Johnny Quest prepare him to get out of the Capitol building alive when people were trying to come for him?
He's the worst race Bannon ever.
Like, he is the worst race Bannon.
Guy's got no muscle mass. It's ridiculous. He's not ready. Come on. He couldn't defend Haji if needed. Not even. I was going to make a very crude joke. You know what? I'm not going to. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone.
I'm shocked. Restraint is not often seen on this show.
I would. You know what? Fuck it. Well, let's do it. I was going to say, if you had to do a Johnny Quest, but only casting Republicans, Bobby Jindal could be Haji, which is just fucking hilarious and rude. It's very rude. Somehow Mike Pence would play Johnny Quest and Race Bannon. It kind of looks like both of them. So, yeah. Next up, town idiot removed from National Council of Idiots. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has been booted from the right-wing House Freedom Caucus. They don't really have a reason as to why, but I don't want to talk about that yet
Right.
because I want to slide into bang on or bullshit. Sorry, I don't have the noise cue.
Since don't have the sound cue.
God damn it. You know what? I'm not going to use it anymore. I'm going to need you.
We are a professional outlet here, I'm telling you.
That's right. This is a bare bones. This is a bare bones broadcast. Jesus. So the reason why I don't want to talk about that story is because this bang on or bullshit article from Salon digs into this, and I think it does it in a really interesting way. The title of the article is "Republican Women Learn the Hard Way: Complicity Will Not Protect You." And so it starts out talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene and how she was kicked out of the House Freedom Caucus, right? And it's like, why would they kick her out? She is a massive fundraiser for the Republican Party and for the Freedom Caucus specifically. She is incredibly popular with their base. She is as nutty of a person in that caucus as anyone, right? Like, she's straight up crazy. Jewish space, lasers, fucking whatever other conspiracy theory nonsense. She's dumb like the rest of them, right? Like, it's not anything like too wacky. She did call Lauren Boebert, who is a part of the Freedom Caucus, she did call her a little bitch on the floor. But as the article points out, like, they support Donald Trump. Like, he says all sorts of shit. He says grab him by the pussy. Like, they don't have a problem with like rude statements or like misogynistic statements. Like, they absolutely don't. Like, so it can't be any of those things. And the article goes on to speculate, and I'd like to hear your opinion on it because it's about two major things. And so I want to jump into the other part too. We'll talk about this one first. It speculates that the reason they booted her out is basically because misogyny. Like, she's too much of a fast riser. She actually had her eyes on wanting to be the VP under Trump, and like, they're basically like, you can only get so high in the Republican Party as a woman, right? Like, this idea of that glass ceiling, like, the Republican men, even though they say all this like rhetoric to Republican women, they want that glass ceiling exactly where it is. And like, they make the point of like, all the things they say about her, Jim Jordan does the same things, but they're always spun in this like positive way for the Freedom Caucus. It's never spun in a negative way. Like, what are your thoughts? Do you think that has something to do with it, or do you think it's something else?
It's an interesting opinion. I'll put it to you this way. I don't think I don't I don't shouldn't say I don't think. I don't know if it's the reason that they expelled her, but I think it could certainly be a contributing factor as to why they expelled her. You know what I mean? I think that it could be an additive reason along with a lot of other stuff, like her chumming up with Kevin McCarthy and her being outwardly aspirational. Which again, they for some reason don't like, even though her getting mainstreamed, and I use that term weird oddly in Republican politics, would only t really serve to benefit them in growing their power and their voting bloc. You know what would be interesting? What would be an interesting case study, and I don't know if it's ever going to happen because I don't think this dude is enough of a personality dynamo. I would be very interested if a Byron Daniels were to somehow catch fire and really become like a fast riser in the Republican Party, and what would happen to him from a Freedom Caucus standpoint.
Oh, you mean Brian Donalds?
I thought it was Byron Daniels, is the name.
Black dude?
Yeah.
No, it's Donalds. Brian
Donalds. Okay. Gotcha. So I'd be interested if that were to happen, if the same thing would happen, because I don't know that it's necessarily
it would
a woman thing, more so as it's a white male thing.
Yeah, but that's a, I mean, that's the same. I mean, that, I yeah. think that's the same thing, right? Like, that's why, like, this idea of, as much as they loved Sarah Palin,
mm-hmm.
you saw who picked her, right? Like, it wasn't a traditional Republican who picked her. Mm-hmm. It was John McCain. Like, John McCain was like, I need to shake this shit up and try to, like, beat this black dude because he is kicking the shit out of me. And how can I change the narrative? But I don't think a traditional Republican would have ever picked someone like Sarah Palin. And by someone like Sarah Palin, I mean a woman. No, I don't think so.
Well, it's funny. This is really more of a allegory to women generally, because like Republican women voters are not being protected by the Republican Party. We see that in the policy that they're passing and stuff like that. So
right, and that's what the second part of the article is about, mm-hmm. which I found to be deeply fascinating. Like, they're like, listen, you know, like, that's level of sexism potentially on Marjorie Taylor Greene is interesting, but there's like another aspect, right? Like, in Florida, and I didn't even realize this had passed. Mm-hmm. In Florida, Ron DeSantis got rid of permanent alimony, right? So apparently, they basically were just like, you can't just get alimony like in a divorce just forever. Like, you just mm-hmm. can't. And, you know, liberal women who work and don't live a quote unquote traditional, you know, like the traditional 1950s housewife sort of life, right? They have jobs and, you know, not, I don't want to say appreciable skills, because that implies that being a homemaker is not an appreciable skill, but outside of the home, appreciable skills, right? Those women were like, you shouldn't vote for Ron DeSantis. That guy's a fucking fascist piece of shit, and he's going to hurt you too. And conservative women were like, nope, traditional fucking families, blah, blah, blah. And then they came out and he's like, yeah, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and side with men rights activists and get rid of this permanent alimony shit. And all these conservative women are like, wait a minute, this affects me because I'm a traditional wife. And now that I was married to my husband for 30 years, and now that I got this divorce, I don't have any appreciable skills because now I'm not getting alimony anymore. And now I'm fucked. Mm-hmm. And now they're running to support, like, you know, more Democrats and stuff like that, because they need help, because they're now being destroyed by the very party that they paid allegiance to. They were complicit in those kind of things, or those type of politicians getting power, and then to do nothing but turn around and stab them directly in the chest, not in the back, directly in the chest, right? But the article just points out, like, this idea of conservative women being complicit in this, you know, white male power fantasy from the 1950s, it doesn't save you. They will destroy you too. They just use you to gain that power, and then they will turn around and stab you in your back. Like, how many times are you going to learn this fucking lesson? And it's a really good point about complicity and about how it is not a shield. And no matter how much of a right-wing person Marjorie Taylor Greene is, she has a ceiling too, and they will not let you pass it. It doesn't matter how much whatever you do for them. I thought it was fascinating.
And by the way, that, like, tremendous amount of credit to, like, black voters who never have followed that path. They've always known the score from day one and don't get fucking fooled by that stuff. You might see a couple points here and there from election to election fluctuate, but by and large, like, most black voters are firmly, firmly Democratic because they know better.
Well, and it's weird, right? Because, like, you'll see black conservatives who are like, we need to leave the plantation and, blah, 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 and go over and do whatever we want. And really, it's like, we need to leave the plantation to come over to this other plantation. It's really what they're advocating. It's fucking so stupid. But this is why Black people don't do that. Because we listen to the shit conservatives say. And you're like, even though I agree with you, like, this is the dumbest thing, is they would capture more Black votes because a lot of Black people are conservative. They are. A lot of Black people are not too keen on trans issues, and a lot of Black people are not too keen on gay rights and stuff like that. They're just not. Because why? Are deeply fucking religious, right? Especially older Black folks. More, actually, it's mostly just older Black folks. A lot of younger Black people are way more progressive, like young people everywhere. But older Black folks would be fucking probably card-carrying Republicans if they could just dial down that racism. But Republicans can't, because they cannot win over white racists, or, hey, Tommy Tuberville, white nationalists. They can't win them over without being bigoted towards people who look like me. Like, they just can't. So in order for them to keep that white vote, they just cannot win that Black vote. They can't be neutral to Black people either, because they've built up rhetoric that being neutral to somebody is being a fan of theirs. You know what I mean? Like, they've made things, you know, no pun intended, but they've made things so black and white that's what's happening, right? So yeah, I just found that Salon article.
Well, that's what's funny is they're catering to an electorate that's not going anywhere. Like, white males are going to vote Republican by and large, just in vast numbers, pretty much all the time. Like even as the country gets more progressive generally and more left-leaning generally, that demographic is going to be the slowest one to fall. Like, it's going to have the easiest hit. But yet Republicans still try to, like, reinforce that base. But it's like, bro, you're not losing them. Like you need to moderate to bring new people into the coalition, not keep what you already have.
Yeah, but the problem is, in fairness to Republicans, can't believe I'm saying this out loud. In fairness to Republicans, white men are incapable of not centering themselves. Like you, Brad. I've often said,
look, I think we've sat in the wings of history long enough. It's time for us to take center stage. That's
finally our opinions will be heard.
It's our time to shine.
Dear God. Ironically, because you guys can't stay out in the sun that long. Right. But, you know, this idea of, like, white men do not do well when they are not centered in conversations. They don't. And I think the Republican Party is like, they've tried to, like, tease out, like, let's see if we go after Latins. They're like, you're going after who? You better be going after us. Like, but you're already with us. Like, you better make me stay. Tell me I'm pretty. Like they don't know how. White male voters, generally, if you're not talking about them constantly and how great they are and how hard they work and what they're doing for this country and how they built it with their bare hands by yelling at Black people to do all the work. if you're not, you know, if you're not telling them how awesome they are, they feel neglected. And when they feel neglected, they stay home. They do. Like, they do. Like, there is a reason that alimony thing happened in Florida. That's for white men. Conservative white men are now trying to go after no-fault divorces. Why? Because there's shitty husbands. Not all white guys, obviously, but these particular guys are shitty husbands, and they don't think that their trophy wives that they bagged before those women figured out how much of a dirtbag they are should be allowed to leave. And so in order to keep those white guys happy, they're going to throw these conservative white women under the bus. They don't give a fuck. They don't care. But you have to keep telling them that they're awesome. You have to. Your guns are awesome. You're awesome. You got, your guns are an extension of you and your giant penis. Like, you guys are amazing. They just have to keep telling them shit, right? Because if you don't, white men get pissed. They do. They get fucking pissed. And it's weird because every other demographic has so used to being put on the back fucking burners. They are. Like, White women are only talked about when it comes to pocketbook issues right up at the end of the election so they can try to woo in the suburban voters. Nobody talks about Asian voters. Nobody gives a fuck about Asian voters, right? Nobody, East or South Asian. They never talk about them. Black people only talked about in an aspect that's generally, you know, violence in these neighborhoods type of thing, right? It's Republicans saying every place black people live is the worst place on earth. Democrats are saying, no, that's not true. Here's nine pennies and, you know, we're going to fix it, right? Like that's, we're always talked about in one aspect or another, right? Like it's both parties sort of pulling at black people to be like, you're the worst and we got to fix you, or like, you're not that bad, but here's a little extra maybe to fix it, right? Like that's not a really positive thing either. Black women aren't talked about as a demographic at all. They never are. And you know, the rest, like young people in general, are only talked about as a weapon, right? Is the weapon going to come out and kick the shit out of Republicans this time, or is it not? So the people who are centered at most of the conversations are white men. And it's working class white men, right? They're the hardest working. Like, look, even Democrats do it. When Bernie's talking about, you know, working class Americans, he's not talking about black people. He's talking about white people. He is. Like, he may not think that he is, but he is. And it's, and that's one of the things that turns black people off about Bernie very specifically, because he doesn't want to talk about race. The fact that you don't want to talk about it at all and the extreme disadvantages, like, that's why people go, like, we know the rhetoric. Like, I know, you know, yeah, black people, were like, we run social media or whatever, but like, we're also paying attention to other shit. Like, we know that when you're talking about just working class people, you're not talking about us. You're not. You're not. You're talking about white people, right? So it's white men are centered at the conversations all the time. White people are centered, but white men very specifically are. The Second Amendment conversations are all white male conversations. It is. Like, you talk, when's the last time you heard a national conversation about black gun clubs? You don't. You don't. You don't fucking hear that shit.
Outside of Killer Mike, he's the only one. So
right. But like you quite literally do not hear that, right? You don't hear conversations about liberal gun ownership. It's all conservative white male gun ownership, and occasionally white women who are happy to, you know, be complicit in this fucking horseshit too. So yeah, I think the Republican Party has figured that out, that like you can't stop talking about them because they get sad, because they have been the center of conversation for so long. They quite literally don't know what it's like to just not be talked about negative, just not be talked about. Can you imagine if a Republican candidate was just like, I'm going to focus on Latinos and black folks, and like, I got white people, that's no problem. Never. It would never fucking happen. And those people are going to vote for you almost every time anyway.
Yep.
But they have to. So it's fascinating. It is. But yeah, white people get real sad. Like, it's really white men specifically.
I mean, I've just let you talk, you know, go on a soliloquy for the last 5 minutes, and I'm pretty sad that I haven't gotten to talk. When will it be my show, Jay?
You know what, Brad? Go ahead. The last 5 minutes is all you.
It's all I got nothing else. I got nothing.
Classic white man. Give me the mic. What do you have to say? Nothing. I got nothing. I'm awesome. Good night, everybody. But yeah, it's fascinating. What before we get out of here, what you got any predictions for next week? There was a quick story that Trump is trying to get the judge to delay his trial, the Jack Smith trial, until after the 2024 election.
Well, I mean, that's not going to work. And I think we talked about before, Jack Smith's trying to preemptively get the trial delayed so that he can be like, look, like we were happy to delay a couple months, like, but going further than that is ridiculous. I think we'll see more developments there as time goes along. I will say, so we had another Clarence Thomas using the Supreme Court for really fucked up things story come out last week. I think that I think ProPublica is going to hit us with another conservative justice impropriety, you know, story sometime the next week. So look forward to that, maybe.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. Like, the Supreme Court is now, it's like a joke. It's like every week Clarence Thomas is like, Clarence Thomas was caught giving a blowjob to a billionaire like during a trial. Like, what's just happening?
did you see the story that like Mitch McConnell's taken to like calling the court independent because he doesn't want to be like independent thinkers, because like he doesn't want it to be like sandbag to the Republican Party and conservative values, like some of the decisions they're making.
Wow.
Like, bro, you did this. this is what you brought upon yourself.
Yeah, you dummy. You stole two seats. Like, you did. Just straight up.
Did you listen to the Clarence Thomas slow burn?
No.
By the way. They did a four episode series on him. The first two were worthwhile because like the first two play out like a villain origin story, and it really should have gone like it, for all intents and purposes, like any normal person with the things that he experienced growing up and like once he got to school should have gone the other way. Like Clarence Thomas should have been like a major like civil rights activist based on his background, and for some reason he just took the turn of actually like it's fucked up that I experienced this, and I'm gonna make sure again because I'm so mad about it, is basically like, how he did this.
Some people just they come from it feels like they come from a different planet sometimes, like yeah. It really quite literally does. All right, bro. Best of luck. You could just leave the court any day now, one way or the other. All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode.
See ya.